From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of March, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. We'll look at the USDA World Agricultural and Supply and Demand Estimates that were released this morning. Unchanged numbers for corn and soybeans as far as the ending stocks go now still stand at 632 million for corn, 125 million for soybeans, wheat at 716. Although I must tell you that they come at the corn number of 632 in a brand new way. We'll discover why and how with Mike Zuzulo. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. And as we close out our half hour together today, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Jim Angel, the Illinois State Climatologist, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago for a Friday afternoon, futures finished up like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat on its close at $6.91, up 4.25. That's in the March. The May at $6.97, up a penny and a half. In July, down a penny at $6.98. The hard red July in Kansas City at $7.92.5, down 2.5 cents. From the corn pit back in Chicago, March futures there up 3 cents at $7.14.5. The May at $7.02, up 10.75. And July corn $6.79.5, up 7. September $5.68.25, up 4.25. December futures $5.45.75, up 4 cents. The March at $5.57, up 5.5 cents. March soybeans for the day $15.09.5, up 6 cents. The May at $14.70, down 3.5. Actually, just changed to its settlement price. So let's give you those. The March there at $15.08.5. That's a settlement up 5. In the March, the May futures for the beans at $14.71, a settlement price down 2.5. In July at $14.47.25, down 6.5. August soybeans on the settlement at $14.04, down 10.5. And November beans at $12.68.5, 9.5 cents lower for the day. January next year down 7.75 at $12.73. Bean meal futures on the afternoon at $4.37, up 1, and bean oil at $50.16, down 24. Live cattle futures finished the June at $123.37.5, $1.07.5 cents lower. April feeders at $141.35 were down $1.27.5, and the May lean hogs at $90.12.5 were up 22.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. April contract, $91.84. That's up 28 cents a barrel. RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, 8 cents higher, $3.20.3. Ethanol at $2.51.5. That's up 7.9 cents for the day. Natural gas trading at $3.62.6, up 4.5 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel just about unchanged at $2.97.6. And gold futures on the day at $1,576.90 an ounce, up $1.80. The U.S. dollar trading 82.7. That's up 0.62 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 42 degrees on an east-southeast wind at 10 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 29. East-southeast winds will continue. And then tomorrow during the day, mostly cloudy, a high of 49 degrees on a southeast wind at 13 to 18. That'll gust all the way to 25 tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening, that's for Saturday night, we'll see occasional showers. Those come mainly after midnight, to a low of 44 degrees on a southwest wind, gusting all the way to 24. Chance of rainfall in the area, 80% Saturday evening. Showers will continue through noon on Sunday to be cloudy and 54 degrees. Sunday night, a chance of rain before midnight. And then a chance of snow, mostly cloudy and a low of 32 as we go from Sunday night to Monday, partly sunny with a high of 41. Monday night, partly cloudy and a low of 25. On Tuesday, mostly sunny skies and high near 44 degrees. Through Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 29. Wednesday, sunny and 47. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 29. And Thursday of next week, mostly sunny skies and a high of 47 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 8th day of March 2013. It's USDA Report Day. On the phone line with us to go through those numbers and what happened at the CME Group after they were released at 11 o'clock Central Time, Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. First off, Mike, thank you so much for making the trip with me to Jacksonville last night.
That was just a wonderful meeting, Todd. I tell you, that all the meetings are wonderful, but it seems like they keep getting better and better. And I think, you know, one of the upsides to the uncertainty that we face in a wide range of issues this year is that more people are coming out and more people are interconnected and listening, and you're gaining a lot more traction with trying to educate. It's just a great panel and a great group. Thank you for setting that up, and our thanks to our colleagues over in Jacksonville and Farm Credit for doing that for us.
Farm Credit Service put that one together for us at Hamilton's. And if you've not been to Hamilton's in Jacksonville for any reason, look for a reason to go. It's a really nice place to have a meeting. I felt really underdressed when we got there with the chandeliers hanging from the ceiling, I have to admit, tell you. Hey, take me through the numbers, if you could, from 11 o'clock this morning as they were released by USDA. What'd you find of interest?
I think the biggest interest, obviously, is the soybeans and versus the corn and the way the trade traded those two numbers. And in essence, what we got was a more friendly corn ending stocks number because of the feed and residual being pumped up so much. I think that was contrasted with the fact that the USDA just didn't do anything and move any fingers or lift a finger on the U.S. bean numbers at all. And I think, if anything, Todd, I would guess the biggest likelihood in the last 7 or 8 months, in my opinion, that this report could be completely faded by the trade. If we come back next week and the spreads stay strong, cash basis stays strong, and we start talking weather, I wonder if we haven't put this report all the way behind us because of the inconclusive issues with the beans and the credibility issue with the beans. So having said that, the market essentially just went into an unwinding and reversal of the bean-corn spread, buying the corn back, selling the beans out, and they pretty much did that all the way through from noon Eastern to 3 o'clock Eastern's close.
And I found it of interest that while it didn't change, and we can talk about how it changed, you mentioned it in the corn, the feed and residual number for the corn, ending stocks didn't change for either corn or soybeans. Almost no numbers for the soybeans changed, with the exception of the average cash price for this season. It went from $13.55 to $15.05 on the range to $13.80 on the top side, or on the bottom side, which is a higher high, or a lower high.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, a higher low.
Lower average price.
Yeah, a higher low, but they lowered the top side from $15.05 to $14.80.
Yeah, and I think they're doing this because I think they are seeing where China has been canceling, and there's kind of a sensitivity of demand where the elasticity or a ceiling in demand comes into play when you get to a certain price level. But here again, I think that you have to look at the crush numbers and the export numbers together, and it just doesn't make any sense to me fundamentally and from a statistical standpoint without seeing big negative. I mean, if we would have had a weekly export sale of negative 300,000 metric tons instead of 1.4 million metric tons on Thursday, then I could have said, you know, today's report's probably on the right end of the spectrum. But
right,
this just doesn't wash. And I, you know, that's everybody I talk to in Chicago and every analyst that I corresponded with after the report came out. We all were saying the exact same thing. So I think we go back to a typical March time period now where you have a historically tight 1996 type corn market and a historically tight 1997 type and 2004 type bean market, where the cash and spreads continue to direct the cash market, the funds continue to direct the futures because there's no real guidance by the government at this stage. And so now you add into the extra uncertainty of weather, and it's like we talked about last night, strap yourself in, because it doesn't have to be this way, I guess is what I'm getting at, is the market is disciplined enough to ration demand when it sees the need and has the reaction that, you know, that's appropriate if it gets the right data.
Yeah, to clarify my data as we were trying to move into that, the average cat, the new average cash price is inside the range of the old average cash price is what I was trying to get at. So that's one thing. And then what you mentioned here with the soybeans, I suppose is that the trade simply doesn't believe that the export number is correct then, and they want a higher export number for soybeans. Is that where you're at?
What typically happens is that the market keeps going up until it starts seeing starts to see those negative numbers come in on the exports, or it starts to see the NOPA crush numbers drop dramatically. But when I check the crush rates and the crushing margins for May through September, they're still running in the high 30s to low 50s. They're still very profitable for domestic crushers. And so I think what the market's reaction should be is that, okay, if you're going to say this, USDA, then we're going to have to take the market up until we make you right, and that's where we go into that rationing function. I think the other thing that really, you know, we talked about this a lot last night, and this is where I really see the corn as the most undervalued, partly because of the disappointing price action of wheat, but just partly because I don't think the managed money really looks at the supply side when they trade that much. They look at the demand side, but when I went through the statistics and I got on the FarmDoc website and looked at all the past 25 years, of world-ending stocks and coarse grains versus total consumption, we went down to 13% in global coarse grain stocks-to-use ratio. That beats 2006, which was 14%. It beats 1996, which was 15%. Our consumption being up at around 1.14 billion metric tons, that's a massive number compared to what we've been used to in history. So that 145 ending stocks number that we got for global coarse grains, Todd, that is historically tight when you factor in that usage. And that's where the imports do make sense from what USDA is saying. But then you have to ask yourself, if we're going to import corn, or if we're going to import corn from Brazil, why wouldn't we feed more wheat? Why did they leave the wheat feeding number completely alone? So, you know, there's a domino effect here in what they're trying to do, and they just didn't connect the dots, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I sent out a quick note on it to you this morning because I went back and grabbed the WASDE figures from March and May and July, August, and September, October last year, and was looking at how the corn and the wheat numbers changed, trying to figure out just exactly what USDA was thinking through that process, because there was a point at which we went from a really big corn crop coming at us and a carryout that was pretty big to what we're at now.
Yeah.
And at that same time, we shrank. We looked like we used maybe about 50 million bushels of wheat for substitution into the feed supply, but I'm not quite certain about that. But
no, I think your bottom line point in that email was, does this mean that we essentially moved 150 million bushels on new crop of corn earlier into the system? And I think that's exactly right, and we've been doing that and trying to keep those numbers straight for going on, you know, 16 months
right
now.
Right. And so the other point was then we took our ending stocks, which was about 800 million at this time of year last year, and pushed it all the way to just above a billion bushels by the time we got to August.
Yes.
And part of that was moving new crop into the system, but we're starting 200 million bushels lower now than we did last year.
And the major point you take away from that, if you're a producer, is simply this. If you're looking at an average cash price of $450, $480, whatever you want to call the USDA average cash price, and 163 bushels to the acre, if you're talking about that type of tightness in old crop, and you feel as though that yield number for corn for new crop is just too high given where we're at right now in terms of weather conditions, I think you really want to reflect hard on any unlimited risk positions in on the short side when it comes to futures, whether it's short futures, sold calls, things like that. I think those are getting more and more risky, and you're taking a greater and greater chance. Maybe you're willing to take that chance because you'd love to sell corn at a higher price, and you'd love those calls or those short futures to run over you because you're so disappointed with the market. That's fine, fair enough, but be ready for that to happen because of how historically tight we are on this old crop. And I would stress, I don't see much weather premium at all in the corn for the new crop. And when today's numbers would suggest, that's even doubly so.
Any advice for producers as they consider their crop insurance decisions?
Well, I continue to promote the idea that unless you're under all irrigation on your beans, I would stress that with the scenario we're developing here in the beans and the idea that if we're really at 100 million bushel carryover and we come to find that out in about 60 days, you're probably going to want 15 or 20 bushels to the acre unsold in the cash market so that you're protecting yourself from a sharp rally, $2, $3, maybe even $4 rally in November, where November essentially goes up to March and May futures. I see the best way to do that as increasing your level of insurance and using that last 15 to 20 bushels as your insurance as to cover your downside, that if you would drop $3 or $4, you're taken care of on your RP. If you go up $3 or $4, you didn't sell that cash bushel. So for $5 or $6 an acre, I think that's pretty good. That's about a 10-cent option right there if you're talking about 55 bushel yields.
For end users, any opportunities to book near-term corn or bean meal?
Yeah, I think you're there. I think that if you want to get as bearish as possible between now and July, I would say between this 540 level that we tested and $5 in December, you would want to be, I think, 12 months covered for cattle and hog guys in the corn market. Even if we have a 1.6 or 1.7, that's what FAPRI came out with today, was a 1.6 something
Wow.
carryover on corn. That matches up more with my number. But even if we came out with a 2.1 billion bushel carryover, you got to wonder how much of that you're going to price in between now and July. So I think you're in the sweet spot as a livestock producer. I would also say, Todd, you may be making your 2013 lows in feeder cattle right now because they are at the narrowest against fat cattle as going back all the way to 2010 at this point. So you might want to be, if you're looking at putting some heifers on the ground, this, in my opinion, would be the time to do it.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. We talk to Mike each and every Friday.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, don't forget to visit our website. We'll post Commodity Week there this evening by about 6 o'clock, probably a bit before that. By 6, I'm sure it'll be there. Our guest this week is Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group out of Chicago, Illinois. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the agricultural markets. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be here in just a moment. He'll also be Monday at the Champaign County Fair, Champaign County Building, with a Ag Panel Outlook. Here's Dave now.
The Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have you visited our website recently at willag.org? Now on that site are videos from the all-day Ag Outlook. Each of the six sessions is posted there on the homepage at willag.org. That's the homepage for agriculture. Just hit the video link. You'll be able to read it. Just scroll down that page and you'll find it pretty easily. And you can watch any of the six sessions. The corn panel, the soybean panel, the cash grain panel, the Southern Farm with John Bondurant, Murray Wise on land values, and, of course, livestock development in the state of Illinois. Now, up next, an ag economist at the U of I, Darrell Good, nonetheless, says now may be the time for producers east of the Mississippi River to consider selling a little new crop wheat. Most farmers, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, do not take crop insurance on their wheat acres. It makes his marketing advice to them a little different than that for corn and soybeans. On those two crops, he says if revenue protection crop insurance is purchased, then look for an opportunity now to make cash sales on the uninsured bushels.
For wheat, a bit different. We don't see as much use of the insurance program on wheat. The insurance price is quite high on wheat, above current prices. So for those that do take insurance, there's not as much need to be worried about pricing the crop because the revenue floor is quite high. But for those that don't, and for the most part, we have crops that are in very good shape so that there may be less than normal risk in forward pricing, I think there's still marginal opportunity for forward pricing. Current harvest bids are a bit higher than what I think we will average during the harvest period. So I think, again, like corn and soybeans, prices have eroded somewhat, but still the bids are above the average that I expect for the new crop.
And that means Darrell Good believes selling a portion of the crop, maybe a larger portion, earlier rather than later, is simply good risk management.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check up on the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is here. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Well, what did you think of the morning reports?
I guess my opinion was that they sequestered it and didn't change anything, and it might as well not have been there.
You're not
it's
telling me
much
they
of a non-event.
Send them out on furlough.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Okay, well, let's forget about that. Tell me about the cash basis in your area then.
It remains at pretty aggressive levels. You know, when you're sitting here in the 20s over, in March and 30s over the July for summer type months are pretty good basis numbers. The flip side is if I'm sitting on DP inventory, I don't want to short the basis at this kind of level this early because who knows what kind of fireworks can happen on the basis later in the year. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't do me any good if I'm a farmer and the board goes down 50 cents or a dollar and the basis goes up 50 cents, I'm a net loser on flat price. So that makes life kind of challenging from the producer standpoint.
Hold it. You used a term I didn't understand. BP inventory?
DP price later.
Oh, DP.
Price later.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said BP, and I was all I could come up with was British Petroleum, which is not correct, I knew. I thought maybe you had crude oil there. Okay, so you've got a pretty wide basis to the top side, that is. You're not able to attract many bushels, I would assume, coming out of the bins.
There haven't been any bushels out of the bin. So, you know, as far as inbound receipts, there's not much there. What you have is bushels that are in the elevator and probably in general have been for 3 months or more. And the producer has been a scale-up seller on it. I think these retaining some bushels back with, you know, what am I going to see from the summer? What am I going to have from the upside? New crop, he's just sitting there watching because we have such a strong inverse. It's hard to sell into it. I mean, you look at it, and analytically, it's probably a good sale for the new crop, but it's hard to pull the trigger when we're so much lower than what we are for the last couple falls, and forward sales didn't work out that well the last couple years.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $7.25 on nearby corn and $14.92 on soybeans.
Bruce, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
It's Farmers Day. It's also National Peanut Cluster Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1717, Abraham Darby died, a British ironmaster. He first successfully smelted iron ore with coke, a much cheaper fuel than coal. The iron quality permitted thin castings that competed with those of brass in making pots. In 1824, John Elder was born, a Scottish marine engineer. He developed the compound steam marine engine. His model divided the steam expansion into two cylinders so that each cycled through a smaller range of temperatures and pressures, which greatly improved fuel efficiency. In 1923, the Coca-Cola 6-bottle carton was introduced. Coke's management hoped the new packaging would encourage people to take bottles of Coke home and drink it more often. The packaging was a huge hit with the public. And in 1992, Christian K. Nelson, inventor of the Eskimo Pie, died at the age of 99. Nelson says he received inspiration for the treat when a boy in a store was unable to decide whether to spend his limited money on ice cream or a chocolate bar. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to check the weather forecast. On the phone line is Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Thanks, Jim, for joining us on a Friday afternoon. Tell me about the weekend weather forecast first.
Yes, if you look at the forecast for this weekend, it'll actually be pretty nice on Saturday. Not so much on Sunday. We have a chance of rain on Sunday, but I think it's going to be pretty nice there on Saturday with a high around 50. Rain, well, there's actually a cold front that's coming through on Sunday, and so that's going to cause a change in the weather. So Saturday night and Sunday are going to get rain, possibly, it looks like total amount, somewhere around a half an inch or so. And then as we go through the day on Sunday, the rain will start to taper off, and at that point the temperatures will also start to taper off. And so we'll hit a high of 56 on Sunday, probably about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then start to fall from there. And by Sunday night, it'll be close to the freezing mark, so we might see some remains of the rain and maybe a little snow mixed in there, but nothing of real accumulation. And then on Monday, back up into the 40s and more sunshine, and Monday night, low of 26 and high of Tuesday of 45. So kind of more close to what we would expect for this time of year as far as the temperatures go.
The University of Nevada Lincoln's drought monitor on the fifth day of this month of March, released this week, suggested that drought no longer existed in a large portion of Illinois and any place to the east of the Mississippi River. Would you agree with that? There were a couple of counties, I think, up into the northwestern part of the state that it suggested was a little bit dry, but what's your assessment?
Yeah, that's what we've been watching for the last couple of weeks now. There's been a nice recovery through much of central and southern Illinois. There's some areas in the far northern part and also some areas in the west there. There's still some lingering concerns about not so much topsoil moisture but subsoil moisture, because those soils have been frozen a lot longer and a lot more this winter than the rest of the state. So a lot of those rains they got early on didn't really help out as much. So you need to get those soils thawed out and get the water moving through the soil profile again and getting those subsoil moisture recharge going there. And so, but I think once that happens, we're in a fairly active weather pattern this spring, or I guess it's barely into March now, but
right.
Close enough. So we're in a much more active pattern than we were this time last year. So I expect continued recovery. And so I think we're pretty close to being out of the woods as far as the drought goes.
All right. Thank you so much, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey. The Prairie Research Institute joined us here on a Friday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. There we'll post Commodity Week by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest, Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois.